Imagine if today was the day your idea changed someone's life. Imagine if you could help someone pay for college, help your community build a new playground, or help a child make it to that dream competition. With GoFundMe, it's all possible. GoFundMe is the world's number one fundraising platform trusted by over 190 million people. Every week, ordinary people meet their goals and do extraordinary things. Your ideas matter. GoFundMe isn't just for emergencies. Want to raise money for your kid's soccer team or raise funds for a small business, a creative project, or event? GoFundMe helps you turn ideas into reality. And help adds up. Fundraisers you start for someone else raise up to 5 times more. So think right now, who could use your help? Change rarely comes from waiting. It comes from someone deciding, today I'll start. Don't wait for someone else to bring change. Today, start your fundraiser in just minutes at GoFundMe.com. That's GoFundMe.com to start your fundraiser. GoFundMe.com. This is a commercial message brought to you by GoFundMe.
Weight loss solutions are not one size fits all. Hers makes it simpler to get started and stick with a weight loss plan backed by expert-guided online care that puts your weight loss goals first. These include oral medication kits or compounded GLP-1 injections. Through Hers, pricing for oral medication kits start at just $69 a month for a 10-month plan when paid in full upfront. No hidden fees, no membership fees. You shouldn't have to go out of your way to feel like yourself. Hers brings expert care straight to you. With 100% online access to personalized treatment plans that put your goals first. Reach your weight loss goals with help through Hers. Get started at forhers.com/foryou to access affordable, doctor-trusted weight loss plans. That's forhers.com/foryou, forhers.com/foryou. Paid for by Hims and Hers Health. Weight loss by Hers is not available everywhere. Compounded products are not FDA approved or verified for safety, effectiveness, or quality. Prescription required. Restrictions at forhers.com. Apply.
Welcome to the Love Story Podcast. I'm your host, Ashley Green, where we are capturing the magic of every love story.
I was going to say at the top of the episode that this episode is going to contain, it's a love story, but it contains talk of suicide. So just be aware of that. Take care while listening. Okay, Miss Sogi.
Yes.
How are you?
I'm good.
Wonderful. We are here to talk about your love story today.
Yes.
As a woman of the modern age, we have many of them. I want to talk about the one with your late husband, Kelly.
Yes.
So, do you want to start at the beginning or do you want to start at the end and then go back to the beginning?
I think we start in the beginning.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. Go back to it. How did you guys meet?
So, I was coming out of a different, not so lovely story in a very abusive relationship. Mm-hmm. And my cousin, who is not only my cousin, but one of my closest friends and more like a sister.
Mm-hmm. Is this Anne?
Yes, Anne. Yep. So, she calls me one day and she's like, do you have the kids? Here I am, single mom, three kiddos.
Yes, okay. So, and maybe give us a little brief overview of the kids quick.
So my ex-husband and I, still very close friends. He's the father of my boys. And then the other one, who for the time will remain nameless, my daughter's dad, was the relationship I was just coming out of. So single mom, three babies. And Lexi was like, just like a year old maybe. Yeah, so she says, man, do you have the kids this weekend? And I'm like, I do. I said, why? And she said, because a really good friend of mine was in a motorcycle accident last night.
Ooh.
And he's been asking me to make chow mein, which in our family is like a thing.
Okay.
It's really good.
So this is the friend who was in a motorcycle accident?
Yes.
He was in a motorcycle accident and he was asking for chow mein.
He had been asking her to make chow mein for like months and she hadn't. And then all of a sudden life was too short because he may or may not have been there. And
yes.
So she's like, I'm making chow mein.
Yeah.
So bring the kids.
Okay.
So we get out there, and chow mein was fabulous, because it always is. I meet Becky and Wes for the very first time. I had never met them before. Wes was in a motorcycle accident.
Got it.
Key element, because Wes becomes the best man in my wedding later on.
Okay. I thought that the man in the motorcycle accident was going to be Kelly, so no. Okay, continue.
No, so the man in the motorcycle accident, and it literally was the day before, so he's not even 24 hours out of this.
And so it was scary, but not too severe?
It was a hit and run.
Oh, God.
And he was fortunate enough to kind of see the impact coming. So he ditched the bike. So he had a little bit of a head injury and some road rash, but thankfully not anything serious.
God.
So,
okay.
You know, so he was in and out of the hospital, but he was saying, like, you know, gotta love Kelly Sogi, because he found out about it. And of course, he and a couple of his other motorcycle friends went to track down the car.
Okay.
Went to track down the the hit part of the the run part.
Yeah, yeah.
And then he was saying, you know, yeah, I'm on some pain meds, but, you know, here I am sitting in my living room and Kelly is there to make sure I'm okay. And
so he's just telling the story about Kelly.
He's telling the story about
tracking
Kelly.
Tracking down the runner.
And while we're having, and I looked at my cousin and I said, who is this Kelly person? I thought we were all supposed to be here. Like, who's this Kelly person? And I saw the whole entire collective room of everybody go, I happen to think he's at so-and-so's wedding at the Valley Inn. So, amazingly enough, the men stayed home with all of the children.
Wow.
And the women went to
the bar.
To go track down Kelly. So, I knew what I was looking for because Kelly was definitely a one-of-a-kind in many different ways. But, you know, the goatee that came down to his belly button and the bald head was like an immediate tip-off when I walked in. Like, I knew what I was looking for. And he had no clue I was
coming. Of course not. That you guys had all just been talking about him and everybody in the room was like, oh, yeah, this is going to be a thing.
Yeah. Right. And I'll go to the bar, grab a drink. And
you know you're on the prowl at this point, and he has no idea. He has unsuspecting prey.
He has no
clue. He's just out there doing a little, you know, rolling the dice, having a little dancing.
Yeah, by himself at friend's wedding reception at the little bar in town. Yeah, sure. Yep. Yeah. So we hit it off. We were chit-chatting and, you know, good time. It wasn't like a, I'm here looking for you.
Sure.
Know, very casual. I played it way cooler than
that. Yeah, of course.
Yeah, we hit it off. And so
what
he's
was
literally...
your breakout, like, what was your line? What was your pickup line when you walked
I
over?
I didn't need one because I had other friends that were introducing me.
Ah, okay.
Yeah, all right. Because, you know, Becky was there and Anne was there.
Yeah,
like,
and they all know him. So then, so it was just like, oh, Kelly, this is Rachel.
Yep. And I think Becky and Wes knew him better than Anne did because I think Anne was just calling him Eggman Kelly because he was where she was getting her source of fresh eggs from.
Yes.
But, you know.
Man of many talents.
Small town. Everybody knows everybody, right?
Yeah.
So I didn't need a pickup line because there was a soft introduction.
Yes.
There.
Okay. Networking.
And I thought it was funny because he literally was like, if you and I are like me and Anne, he was sitting in between the two of us.
Wow.
As the three of us are chatting. She literally like looks around and is like, what do you think?
It says that to
me.
In front of Kelly?
Him.
Just right in front of him?
Just right in front of him. I said, he's a great guy. Seems like a really good guy.
And he's just sitting here in the middle, just like...
Well, he's by this time picked up on what's going on.
Sure. Okay.
And I said, no, seems like a really, really great guy.
Yeah.
My mom is never going to go for this. Never, never going to go for this. And he's laughing. He, at this point, is like hysterically like, you two are crazy.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah.
And then she looks at me and she says, you want to make a bet? I said, yeah, how much? $100. You're on. So my favorite part about how Kelly and I met is I lost a bet.
Oh.
Best $100
yeah.
I have ever lost.
Because your mom was just like, okay, cool. Yeah, love the
very,
goatee.
Yeah, very next weekend, Anne had arranged all of us to be on motorcycles.
Mm-hmm.
Like, to the point where my kids here living in the Sauk Rapids area had a football game, and my mom was like, well, you bring the boys over to the house, bring the kids over after football, and then I'll make tacos and bring them, you know, out to, like, Eden Valley later, have them out at Ann's for when you guys get off of motorcycles. And I was like, she hasn't even met this guy yet.
Sure. And she's already, okay. So Kelly obviously must have thought that you were a pretty bodacious babe, too, then, if that's the case. If he, as you're sitting there, he wasn't just like, okay, ladies, not interested.
You're crazy.
Yeah.
No.
Okay. So what was the next, like, between the moment that you, you know...
met.
Yeah. And then went to meet mom a week later. What was that week like? Were you guys, like, talking on the phone?
Yep.
Had you seen him?
Yeah. Texting, talking constantly. Okay. You know, that was, like, the point in time where... Because obviously now not in bar scene, right? Mm-hmm. And then it's like, well, you know, tell me about your kids. Tell me about your ex. Like,
and Kelly had two kids.
Yep. So Kelly had full custody of his two babies.
Okay.
Who were 11 and 8 at the time.
And your kids were one-ish, one, two-ish.
Yeah. 10, 7, and 1.
So a clump of kids and then
between
a little
11
outlier.
And 1.
Yeah.
All five of them between 11 and 1. He had full custody of his. I had full custody of mine.
Okay.
So.
Okay.
And all of the other parents were still in the picture. You know, so it, you know, worked out kind of nice because we had the same weekend schedules
nice.
Out of all three of the other parents. So, yeah, it worked out.
Yeah.
But that week was a lot of, you know, learning more about each other.
What's your favorite color? Yeah.
Kind of beer do you drink? I don't know. You know, stuff like that. It was not favorite color topics. We'll just go that route. Not favorite color topics. Okay. He actually, and Ann and Tom both rode motorcycle as well.
Were you a biker babe or were you, was this new to you?
This was new. Yep. This was new to me. And my cousin Ann had her own motorcycle. Her husband Tom rode and Kelly. So the three of them. Mm-hmm. We're already at my mom's when I got there, and he was outside in the driveway having a cigarette, and I'm like, I'm sorry you got here, and like, how did that go? He's like, I just was going to shake her hand, and like, I got a big hug out of the deal, and I was like, yeah, lost a bet. There goes my $100.
Yep.
Already. Haven't even started the day. $100 gone. So, yeah, we went riding that day, and my mom took the kids and made tacos and brought the kiddos out to Ann's where we... ended our little
all five of them. Was this her meeting Kelly's kids too?
I met Kelly's kids that weekend.
Yep. Okay.
Yep.
And everybody just, I mean, were the kids all super happy to just,
you know, it's, I mean, they're at the 11, 10, 8, 7 awkward age anyways. Mm-hmm. I mean, of course, Lexi was like 1, 1.5. So she just wanted to know where mom was most of the time.
Yeah.
Where's grandma at that point? Moms don't matter, right?
Yeah.
No, everybody got along well. So, you know, fast forward. So this was October of 2010 and he proposed on New Year's Eve.
Oh, wow.
Yes.
Things moved along pretty quickly. Had you been talking about marriage or anything at all? Okay.
No. Nope.
Okay.
No, not at all. Yeah.
Out of the blue. And how many times had he been married before?
Once.
And you had been married?
Once.
Once. Yes. Okay.
So I did. This is... I was never married to my daughter's dad.
Okay. So this is, you'd gotten out of an abusive relationship.
Yes.
And you, you know, a year later, you're over here, you meet Kelly, and he's just like, everything stops, record scratch. You see him at the bar. He sees you at the bar, and he's like, I'm going to propose to this woman in 3 months.
Yeah. Yeah.
Two months.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. And you were shocked? Did you say yes right away? Or were you like, hold on, let me just see what I...
Well, okay, again, so it was New Year's Eve, right?
Uh-huh.
So I said yes right away. And then on New Year's Day, I was like...
What did I do?
Was that real?
Yeah.
Did you mean to do that?
Yeah.
Like...
Yeah.
Did you mean to do that? And he was like, yeah, absolutely, 100%. I absolutely mean that. And I will ask you again, and I will say yes again. So...
Wow. Did he ask your... parents, like, did he say, did anyone else know? Was this just...
No.
Okay.
No.
So he just...
Yep.
...looked at you and he was like, will you marry me?
Yeah. Absolutely.
How long then did you plan a wedding for?
So we had the best wedding ever. We were engaged for almost 2 years.
Okay.
Because we got married. So my birthday is in the beginning of August and Kelly's birthday is in the end of August. Okay. So we planted the anniversary right in the middle of August.
Do it all, just get it all done and over with.
Well, because the plan was when the kids got up and out of the house, we would actually take the whole entire month of August and be on a motorcycle, just touring around, doing whatever, doing birthday, anniversary, birthday, and being gone for a whole entire month on the bike.
Okay.
That was kind of the game plan. So,
did you ever get an opportunity to do that?
No. No. Did not. But we still had a lot of good times on the motorcycle. So, yeah.
Did you ever have your own motorcycle?
Yes. Okay. I have my license. I have a bike. I haven't ridden in a while. Mine hasn't run the best. So. Mm-hmm.
As I have two motorcycles coming out of a previous relationship. I was like, well, I paid for both of these, so they're both mine. Do I need two motorcycles? No. Did I need one motorcycle? Also, no. And it's definitely not a hobby that I am willing to die for. So I'm more of a like there's things that I would be willing to die making a chair, you know, if it was extreme chair making, I would. But a motorcycle, I'm like, I don't need to die on a motorcycle. That's I don't feel that much passion for it. So
I don't plan on dying on a motorcycle either, just for the record.
Sure. Sure.
But I trust other drivers much more than I trust myself. So
sure.
It was always a thing after I started riding because I hadn't been riding until I met Kelly. And mm-hmm. So I was like, it was kind of one of those things too. I'm like, hey, let's take the bike out. He's like, I have been outside all day long. He worked construction. And I was like, well, watch me.
Yeah. I'll go by myself then.
Side note, I got my license. I was super excited. I'm like, you know, passed 100%. Didn't miss any points. All of the things. got my license and I'm super excited and I get home and he looks at me and there's not very many men that would do this before women, but he looks at me and he goes, happy anniversary. I was like, oh my God, it was our 1 year anniversary. And I'm
going to get my motorcycle license.
And I had forgotten. And he was like, happy anniversary. And
1 year
like,
after being married. Yeah. I'm an asshole.
Yeah. I'm the asshole. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Yes. So what's the next, how long were you guys married for?
We were together for 14, married for 12.
Okay. So the next 12 years beyond this, as you're planning a wedding, everybody's integrating lives together.
Yeah. So I had moved out to Eden Valley. Like I said, we met in October. I had moved out that following summer, May, June-ish. Mm-hmm. And I made sure because he had a tiny house, but not a cool tiny house. Like mm-hmm. It was, it's like not like shack. The new tiny houses.
Yes. So you were living where previously?
I was in Sauk Rapids. I was in an apartment in Sauk Rapids.
Okay. And then he was living where he is living, so you moved in with him?
I moved the kiddos out to Eden Valley.
And he was living in a tiny house, a little shack, so on that property, and which is also his dad's property?
Yes. Kelly was a very simple man. Mm-hmm. I often say that he was, and he used to say this all the time too, born in the complete wrong century. If he, 100 years ago, could be in the mountains someplace, yep. living off the land, mm-hmm. hunting and catching his own food and yep. growing his own food with zero people around, mm-hmm. no running water, electricity, or internet, he would have been in heaven. Yes, 100%.
And so he's trying to do that in the 21st century.
Yes.
Okay. And now with a wife and, yeah.
Yeah.
Or prospective wife and kids.
Well, and, you know, that was even where he and his ex-wife had lived. He was on his dad's land, and the house he grew up in is there. And then there's the shop, because he also did taxidermy. So in his taxidermy shop, tons and tons of awards. Like, arguably, when it comes to deer, mm-hmm. shoulder mounts, mm-hmm. things like that, like, the best in the state.
Imagine if today was the day your idea changed someone's life. Imagine if you could help someone pay for college, help your community build a new playground, or help a child make it to that dream competition. With GoFundMe, it's all possible. GoFundMe is the world's number one fundraising platform trusted by over 190 million people. Every week, ordinary people meet their goals and do extraordinary things. Your ideas matter. GoFundMe isn't just for emergencies. Want to raise money for your kid's soccer team or raise funds for a small business, a creative project, or event? GoFundMe helps you turn ideas into reality. And help adds up. Fundraisers you start for someone else raise up to 5 times more. So think right now, who could use your help? Change rarely comes from waiting. It comes from someone deciding, today I'll start. Don't wait for someone else to bring change. Today, start your fundraiser in just minutes at GoFundMe.com. That's GoFundMe.com to start your fundraiser. GoFundMe.com. This is a commercial message brought to you by GoFundMe.
Wow.
Yep. But he had his taxidermy shop, and then he put a little bedroom above there. This was when he was, like, in high school.
Okay.
And graduating from high school.
So he could just do taxidermy until the wee hours of the morning and then
yes.
go to bed.
So, you know, you pull in the driveway, and there's the little house, and then...
Is it still standing? Have I seen
yeah,
it?
Yeah, because okay. my bonus son and his wife live there now.
Okay. So he built this little tiny house.
Yep.
Okay.
2 bedrooms, 1 bathroom. Move into that 860
square feet. With 5 kids.
Yes. So there's 7 of us in there.
Yeah. You all have a little over 100 square feet of your own space.
Yeah.
Okay. Mm-hmm. How long did you do that for?
Almost the whole time.
So you got married out there? Or
I had said to him, like, have you talked to your dad? Like, are we going to put an addition on this house?
Mm-hmm.
Because my apartment was twice that size.
Uh-huh.
And yeah. he's like, yep, talk to dad. Yep, we had plans drawn up and, you know, we had mm-hmm. met with the city and we had gone through all of this. And then I sort of heard through the grapevine that maybe his dad wasn't real fond of that. So then I started wondering if he actually ever even asked his dad or he
yeah.
was just like, of course I did. Yeah, you're good. Move on out.
And yeah.
Which was much more of a Kelly move yeah. to do anyways.
Sure.
I was like, well, if that's not an option, we're going to start to look around. So we're checking out land because this little house is built in trusses. Like it's small enough to just pick it up and move it, right?
Yeah.
Add on somewhere else.
Yeah.
So we're looking at land, we're looking at houses, and I couldn't get him to go any further than next door.
Sure.
So when the time was right, we bought the neighbor's house.
Okay.
Yep.
And everybody was just, was it overall just like happy little sardines in a can, or was it a lot of pinch points?
you know, we were lucky that the kiddos got along as well as they did. So the way the ages are is Cheyenne is the oldest.
Okay.
And Lexi is the youngest, the two girls. Mm-hmm. And they're 10 years apart. Mm-hmm. So they had one of the bedrooms. And then all three of the boys in between, pretty close together in age. Mm-hmm. So we built a lofted system in the living room.
Okay.
So we still had a couch. You could mm-hmm. sit on the couch and watch TV, but like the bunk beds and then the loft bed. And, mm-hmm. and so we did that. And, you know, teenage girl stuff gets a little bit interesting. So
yeah,
at, you know, about the age of 15, Cheyenne was like, eh. So she had left then and gone to live with her mom, which was fine because mm-hmm. that was 12 miles up the road. So it right. wasn't like it was far, far away.
Well, and like you said, everybody was still in the picture. So it wasn't yes. like this, yeah. you know, yeah, you're moving on the other side of the country or you're
right,
moving in with someone who yeah. hates you or, you know, whatever. So, right.
yeah. But, you know, for the most part, we were lucky.
Welcome to Green Thumb, Etc., home of custom furniture, upholstery, designer floral, and exclusive giftware. Do you need to find a gift for that crazy aunt that has everything? You'll find it at Green Thumb. Do you have grandma's old chair that nobody wants anymore, but you just don't have a heart to throw away? I can upholster it for you. Or do you need flowers for someone to say, I'm sorry, or to say, I love you? You can find that here too. Come on down to the corner of 7th and St. Germain in downtown St. Cloud, and you can shop to your weirdo heart's content. Find us online at greenthumbetc.com, Facebook or Instagram at greenthumbetc. At this point, you're already familiar with the way the Love Story podcast operates. However, there are some stories that can't be told on the Love Story that need to be told after dark. So we started Love Story After Dark, a podcast that you can get bonus content on Patreon. There's all sorts of bonus content that you can find on Patreon, audio, video, special swag, all kinds of stuff. So if you're looking at just wanting to get the audio of the Love Story After Dark, that's $5 a month. If you want to get audio and video, $10 a month. If you want to be a part of the sticker club and get exclusive sticker swag, that's $25 a month. And for $50 a month, you can get the elite bonus merch. However, you don't have to pay any money to just get exclusive clips from any of our After Dark episodes. Get yourself added to the email list so you can get notifications for when new content drops for the Love Story podcast After Dark.
You know, for the most part, we were lucky. I mean, my city kids learned quickly how to utilize the outdoor facilities. Mm-hmm. Teenage girls in the bathroom can take right. some time.
Right.
It was also a very fun and interesting mix of watching. Kelly was not internet, not mm-hmm. any of that stuff. It was like, no, not a chance. And yeah. I'm like, do you know what I do for a living?
Right.
Like, I run a marketing agency. Like, mm-hmm. I can't not have the internet.
Yeah.
I work at home a lot.
Yeah.
So we introduced Kelly to modern technology.
Uh-huh.
And then Rachel got to learn how to butcher.
Yeah.
And kill things.
Yeah.
And run a chainsaw. So there was a lot of this, and rightfully with the kiddos too. Like, I remember Ethan, my oldest, is like, Mom, nobody out here skateboards. And I'm like, it's hard to skateboard on dirt road. So there was a mix of like my kids getting to learn the things they probably wouldn't have.
Yeah.
It was interesting to watch.
Yeah.
Like, my husband was a hoarder. It kind of runs in the Soggy family. There's a lot of things.
It's kind of the thing when you're a creative person. Luckily for you, you're digitally creative, so you probably have a lot of folders on your laptop of ideas and Pinterest boards yeah. and whatever. But yeah, I'm yeah
wasn't kind of
also a hoarder. So because you just never know, all of a sudden you're like,
I think
I'm gonna need this someday.
The number of McCafe coffee pots we have, because you might need that craft or the yeah. cord off of it at some point in time.
Mm-hmm. So if you're a handy person and you can fix stuff, everything has value.
Old coffee pots. I mean, like yeah. the amount of things. Zenless, yes. Right.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So also very interesting. I don't remember where I was going with that. But
well, he was a hoarder.
Yeah.
And you were seven people crammed into a tiny house.
So his kids got the unfortunate, now you need to start cleaning up after yourselves. And my kids got the, we don't have to clean up as much.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So again, it was kind of that like
yeah. Yeah.
interesting balance of watching everybody come together. And all of the kids today are still very close, and great relationships and family was built out of that.
So at what point were there issues that were always there?
Yeah, there were issues that were before Rachel. His family doesn't really drink at all. Mm-hmm. Like, his dad claims to have never had an alcoholic beverage. And I believe that, honestly. So when I met Kelly, again, we heat the little house with wood, right? And mm-hmm. the furnace room is outside. And it was full of beer cans because he wouldn't just come home from work and have a beer on his porch because his dad would be driving up the driveway. I look back and I'm like, you weren't really dumb enough to believe that your dad didn't know you drank.
Right.
And so a lot of that was, you know, upbringing. He struggled with various different things in his past. And so, you know, over those 2 years before we got married, there was a lot of that conversation. And I just looked at him and I'm like, you are a grown adult man.
Yeah.
Who is up in the morning and working all the time. You have custody of your kids, and you deserve to be able to come home from work and sit on your own porch and crack a cold one if you want to. So slowly he got a little bit more comfortable with that and not hiding it anymore. Mm-hmm. Love my father-in-law to death. He and I get along great, but I don't think he was a big fan of me in the beginning days.
Yeah. Yeah.
Because I was just bringing some very real things mm-hmm. into the picture. And he felt a little bit more comfortable of just being able to have some drinks. And, you know, it wasn't overly excessive at the time. You know, various things happen in life, you know, whether it's work related or, you know, kid related or whatever. I mean, when Cheyenne decided to go live with her mom, it was hard. Yeah. That was hard on him. It was hard on all of us. I completely understood it. There was a lot of discipline and, you know, arguing and things like that. Wasn't always nice and comfy and cozy.
Mm-hmm.
So didn't blame her for making that decision and supported it. And, you know, so there just was some different things. But even before then, now I look back and I'm like, Kelly was 39-ish when I met him, I think.
Okay.
And he told me right in the beginning, okay, hello, you just asked me to marry. I never plan on living past 40.
Okay.
Oh, so the clock's ticking is what you're saying.
Yeah.
Like, what are we doing?
We better live a great life better, in the next
eight months. Yeah. Like, we better do that fast. Well, I got him to 52, so, you know. So he was 38. There was a lot of that kind of talk anyways. A lot of what I learned and unfolded because, again, fantastic man. Anybody who knew Kelly will tell you that you always knew by the twinkle in his eye and the mischievous little grin that he had when he was up to something. Like, mm-hmm. And he was up to something kind of a lot of mm-hmm. times. He was a prankster and a jokester and just, you know, definitely bend over backwards, do anything for anybody. But, you know, mental illness is a thing. And it stemmed from way back when. And then you have the self-worth issue that kind of mm-hmm. leads in. And he was a roofer by trade. So lots and lots and lots and lots of years of very, very intensive hands-on construction.
You're using your body and it wears down a lot quicker. So when you've got A plus B plus C, doesn't always equal D, but you know, fast tracks it kind of.
Hips, back, knees, mm-hmm. shoulders, all of the things.
Yeah.
You know, kind of got to a point where he really wasn't able to work a whole heck of a lot. It was actually when I moved offices, because those mm-hmm. big, huge lockers I have in the back, that did a number on his back. And when we remodeled the new office, mm-hmm. was about the time that he ended up not working anymore. You know, and a couple cold ones turned into a lot more cold ones. And you tie that on top of not being able to work and contribute to a household.
And he's a man who's always been
working, a provider.
And, yep, contributing, doing, yes.
Yep.
Constant. Working the land, working everything.
And then, you know, now that you're not working, what do? Apparently vodka for breakfast sounded like a good idea. And that wasn't all the time, but he was still doing stuff. The garden, the chickens, wood, the things.
It's kind of when you're in a relationship like that and you're like, okay, we're all adults. What is your role to step in and say, okay, now this is a problem? It's kind of a delicate balance. And like you're saying, things are still getting done. So it was like, have a problem?
Yeah, he was always, first off, very kind, very thoughtful, right? There was, you know, never any thought of like cheating or abuse or anything like that. Mm-hmm. That's like not a thing for him whatsoever. But he wasn't I'm going to sit on the couch and play video games and get mm-hmm. drunk. And he even wasn't even drunk all the time, you know? So it was a really weird, like, how to navigate that. And the good majority of the time things were challenging, but, you know, you still came home and you made supper, depending on what kind of mood or situation or what his day was like. Sometimes he'd go to work and sometimes he wouldn't.
Mm-hmm.
He was doing some work with his dad at the time, but I never really knew for sure. There was never a set schedule. I mean, I'm a business owner. I don't have a set schedule either, do you?
Right, exactly.
No, but, you know, it was wonderful. It was, again, he was an amazing individual.
And I had only met him a handful of times, but you could always see that there was a lot of love there.
Yes.
And I think, too, and you and I had kind of talked to be in, I wouldn't necessarily say similar situation, but we were similarly frustrated with the people that we were with.
Yes.
We'd have a lot of conversations about.
Yes.
And that's the thing about it, where you have to remind yourself continuously in a situation when someone does die by suicide, you have to remind yourself that, like, okay, I'm still allowed to have been frustrated.
Yes.
And that those feelings don't go away. You can't clean those up afterwards and say that that wasn't there and, you know, make it anything that it wasn't. So we were similarly frustrated in our relationships with people who were maybe not necessarily making the choices that we would have wanted them to make. And then also you're seeing someone that you love and care about that's just continuing to abuse themselves in these ways. And so it was tough.
Yes.
And also there was a lot of love there. It was tough because there was a lot of love there. And my relationship ended differently. I ended up breaking up with that person. And your relationship, there was a lot of work that was being put in. He had gone into, was it inpatient and outpatient? Or
yes. It had gotten to a point and had escalated to a point where his dad and I had been really keeping an eye on things. The woods where deer stands are, there had been times where he was going to go out and cut wood or whatever, and his dad would call and say, I'm not sure how his day's been going, but kind of decided to lay down and take a nap on the field road or whatever. So we were kind of, we were keeping an eye on things. We had been, I had been, you know, silently, secretly for a lot of years.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, like when the kids were little, you know, and getting off the bus and, you know, there were definitely a lot of signs throughout the years that I had been monitoring. And, you know, all too often we take that on internally and, you know, trying to normalize this because there are a lot of people that go through it.
Yeah.
And when you really feel like alone, and so you don't tell.
Well, shame.
You don't tell.
Yeah.
The, you know, like, I'm not going to call my mom and be like, oh, Kelly was passed out on the kitchen floor when the kids got off the school bus. You know, like, I'm not going to say those things out loud.
Right.
And so there's that part that you deal with internally for a lot of years prior to this part.
Mm-hmm.
And so his dad and I had really been communicating a lot because we were concerned.
Yeah.
We wanted to help in whatever ways that we could. And he, like I mentioned earlier, had been working with his dad on some, you know, jobs his dad needed help. Unfortunately, Kelly's uncle was sick at the time. And Daryl, Kelly's dad, had been working with Dean and then kind of working with Kelly and helping him in his construction business, which was a little less intense than being on a roof all the time. They still did some roofing jobs and things, but Daryl had called and said, you know, after his day yesterday, do I stop and pick him up for work this morning? Yep, absolutely you do.
Mm-hmm.
Yep, you do. And I was getting ready for work and I could hear my father-in-law, my husband just unleashing on his dad about everything. When I was growing up, all of a sudden the bucket dumped, right?
Mm-hmm.
And then it was all there, literally on the table, on the counter.
Weight loss solutions are not one size fits all. Hers makes it simpler to get started and stick with a weight loss plan backed by expert-guided online care that puts your weight loss goals first. These include oral medication kits or compounded GLP-1 injections. Through Hers, pricing for oral medication kits start at just $69 a month for a 10-month plan when paid in full upfront. No hidden fees, no membership fees. You shouldn't have to go out of your way to feel like yourself. Hers brings expert care straight to you with 100% online access to personalized treatment plans that put your goals first. Reach your weight loss goals with help through Hers. Get started at forhers.com/foryou to access affordable, doctor-trusted weight loss plans. That's forhers.com/foryou, forhers.com/foryou. Paid for by Hims and Hers Health. Weight loss by Hers is not available everywhere. Compounded products are not FDA approved or verified for safety, effectiveness, or quality. Prescription required. Restrictions at forhers.com. Apply.
I came out of the room and I slammed my hand on the counter and I said, listen, I said, you do not have the right to do this. You do not have the right to do this right now because you haven't even taken time to figure it out yourself. So you don't get to stop and just start unleashing on everybody else and placing blame in places. Am I 100%, you know, agreeing with you, the things that you've shared with me, that maybe your upbringing wasn't the greatest? I don't know anybody's who really is.
Right.
You know, and we all have to internally work on that. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, you don't get to start pointing fingers until you've really taken a long, hard look and figured it out. And he went downstairs.
Mm-hmm.
and upstairs and downstairs and upstairs and downstairs. And his dad and I had some conversation too. And I said, look, Daryl, I'm not here to place blame on anything. I said, but the struggle's real.
Yeah.
And he's struggling and he's suffering. And this is taking a huge toll on his mental well-being. His physical body's breaking down. And his addiction is where he's finding comfort, where mm-hmm. he's washing away his pain. Mm-hmm. And while we're all very frustrated with that, we need to be well aware that the mental issues are the source of it. It's not the mm-hmm. addiction. It's mental health. Mm-hmm. And he's like, well, I could never figure out. And I did kind of have to put his dad in place too. And I'm like, yeah, it doesn't help. Mm-hmm. Doesn't help with this is the way that relationship has been and has right. been. And Kelly came up and he was crying, which he frequently did. Mm-hmm. And he was looking through his phone and he asked me for help and he was looking up treatment centers. Mm-hmm. So his own decision. We sat down and went through and made some phone calls and found a place. And unfortunately, because healthcare and insurance in our state is fantastically fun to work with, he was ready to go. And I'm on the phone with people saying, like, you don't understand. I've got 30 minutes before he changes his mind.
Right.
I need to have an appointment for an intake, whatever, mm-hmm. made like now, because this has been years. And he's finally making this decision right now. And I've got like 30 minutes or he'll change his mind. And I finally got a hold of an agency. And then as he's all ready to go, I find out that insurance won't take care of it until mm-hmm. a whole 30 days later.
Yeah.
So he detoxed at home. He actually went sober for that 30 days. I was very impressed. But detoxing at home was terrifying. I didn't know what to expect out of that. Did what I could, helped where I could, encouraged him, reminded him how strong he was, you know, all the things. Mm-hmm. And so then he was inpatient for, again, new to me. I'm like, yeah, keeping him for like 90 days. How's this work? No, just 30. Mm-hmm. Yep, just 30 days. Mm-hmm. Just to, you know, get him sober. And
yeah.
I was there every family visiting day, every Sunday. It was interesting. And he was appreciative and he was doing really well and got out of treatment. And he actually asked, I reached out to his counselor and said, he's not ready to come home. Mm-hmm. Well, what do you mean? I said, have you talked to him? I mean, we had nightly phone calls.
Yeah.
I recall he was concerned about coming home. Mm-hmm. How do you condition? How do you get them ready for the transition of right. after 30 days of this program? Just, here you are, go back to your little place and try to not do the things you used to do.
Yeah. It takes a couple weeks to get even situated in that facility. You don't really get to be in it and working on anything before. It's just, okay, now that you're here and comfortable,
yep.
goodbye.
Yep. So he actually asked to stay for a couple of weeks. So he was in for 6 weeks instead of four. And I quit drinking. I did everything I could to be supportive. You know, there's no alcohol in our house. There was limited places that we were going for the first couple of months when he was back, because all of our friends and family like to enjoy a few cold beverages. And so he just didn't want to reintroduce to that too quickly. Right. And I was very aware of that and supportive. Until a couple of months later when he had clearly relapsed but wasn't coming clean with his relapse. And then it was kind of like, wait a second. Like, I'm still here doing all the things and you're hiding it from me. Do you think I'm dumb? Because I can tell.
Especially if you're sober too at the same time.
Yes.
So it's like, yeah.
He went in January of 2023 till middle of February. And by, I'm going to say April was when his relapse probably hit. Because I think it was May when I confronted it. And we kind of worked through that. I mean, he was now drinking. Lots of interesting conversations of shame, embarrassment, guilt comes with addiction, comes with that feeling of disappointment, which just did not add to his self-worth in that point in time. And lots of garage talks. A lot of conversation about him just saying he's really tired of hurting the people he loved. And then out of the blue, while we're listening to Kelly's playlist, for absolutely no apparent reason, Jelly Roll Save Me comes on. Neither of us had ever heard the song before. And my husband was one that plays things over and over and over and over again. So, you know, 20 times of that song. And there was a combination of, like, laughter and crying. I mean, I do remember that, too. Because we're like, wow, the reality of this is huge. The reality of this is just huge. You know, like I said, and in his relapse there, I mean, it's not like there was arguing. There really wasn't fighting.
Right.
Ever. Very few arguments and fights between us.
Right.
I mean, he was continuously, you know, mad at the government and everything else and, mm-hmm. you know, other things. Mm-hmm. So it got to be kind of a lot. And then some of the disagreements started happening, or just the not being able to rely on things.
Yeah.
And I was like, you need to figure something out. And therein came treatment number two. We had just celebrated our anniversary, and he and his son, my bonus son, were busy doing something. They were fixing a snowblower or something like that. And I had a couple of friends that were on a side-by-side run, Becky and Wes, mm-hmm. the best man in the wedding.
Mm-hmm.
And so when I went to, you know, go just join them for the afternoon, told them I'd be back later, it turned into a real difficult day, something that I would have never expected from him. He clearly wasn't in a right frame of mind, because
mm-hmm.
I had like 32 missed phone calls. You know, this wasn't him.
Yeah.
He wasn't the call and track me down kind of thing. Mm-hmm. I literally was just with a couple of friends yeah. for an afternoon. And so I said, something's got to change. Like, this, something's got to change.
Yeah.
And I went to work on Monday and got a phone call from my father-in-law that they were on their way down to treatment. And I was like, oh, wasn't even a conversation. Yeah. Like, I just go to work and you up and leave in the middle of the day. And I think, knowing Kelly, it was his way of just like, I kind of want to take care of this myself. I don't want you to help me. I want to do this.
Mm-hmm.
And he got home on a Thursday, which I thought he wouldn't get home until Friday.
Mm-hmm.
On Thursday, I went to my daughter's volleyball game. And when I came home, I could hear him on the phone with a friend. And I wasn't sure, because in his drinking, again, he wasn't an angry. He was more of a very overly emotional. Mm-hmm. Like, all of a sudden, things would kind of flood and you could see it. And he would break out into tears. So you have this big, you know, bald, long goateed
mm-hmm.
biker covered in tattoos.
Yeah.
Like, literally crumbling and falling apart in tears often. Mm-hmm. And I could hear him on the phone, and I was like, you know, the old me would have, like, marched down. But I spent a lot of time working on myself throughout all of this. And I'm like, not my business. He's going to mm-hmm. have to work through it on his own. You got to get up in the morning. So I went to bed and got up. But I came home from work on Friday afternoon, and he was drunk. So round two, it wasn't even 24
yeah.
hours.
Yeah.
Which was a huge red flag. And so Friday night did not go well. Saturday did not go well. And Sunday did not go well. So it was a tough weekend. I won't give you all the details in there. It's, you know, includes a lot of family back and forth and, you know, support. And yeah, on Sunday when I was making breakfast and he had packed up the truck and gone camping on Saturday night, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I didn't know where he went, whatever.
Mm-hmm.
He did send me a son of a sinner at 3:00 on Sunday morning from a random location. I'm not sure where he was.
Mm-hmm.
So when he came home on Sunday, I was a little concerned.
Yeah.
And his dad was there, and his sister and her significant other. And, you know, long story short, there was a bunch of back and forth. And, like, he would leave, and then he would come back, and then he would leave, and he would come back. And you could tell he wasn't all together with it. But he wasn't going to sit down and have a conversation with anybody right. about it either. My daughter had to work, and I hopped in the car to, well, I had to move his truck. And I thought, oh, he's going to come out of that shed, just matter. And yeah, I'm going to hear about it. And he didn't. And then I looked, and his phone was sitting there, and there was a text message, and it said, I love you, brother. My time has come. And I got in the car, and I looked at Lex, and I said, I am worried. I'm worried about his mental health. Something's not right. And she's like, Mom, we've been worried about his mental health for mm-hmm. a lot of years.
Mm-hmm.
And you know you can't do anything. Yeah. So I drove her into work at 1:55, and I get a phone call from Tristan. And he's like, I was just coming up to check on things. I just came through the pasture. Where are you? You were leaving. I said, just dropping Lexi off at work. You know, I'm on my way home.
Mm-hmm.
I'm like, did you let the dogs out? And he's like, yeah, I can't find him. I can't find him anywhere. He's not in his truck. He's not in the shed. He's not in the trailer. He's not anywhere. And I said, did you look in the shed edition? That's where I heard him on the phone that night before. And Tristan and I unfortunately went back to the shed edition to find that he had taken his life. And, you know, 911 and CPR and all the things. And, you know, our first responders were great, and they were working on him. And, you know, it just, the 911 call was at 2:08. So from 1:55 to 2:08, well, 13 minutes that I replay that.
Of course.
Yep. He had his AA book and he had his badge, and he had clearly been praying and thinking about things. And I just go back to, none of us went to look for him that day. And the conversations of, I'm tired of hurting the ones that I love. He didn't want to struggle. He didn't want to suffer. He didn't want to be in pain. He didn't want to hurt anybody else. So, yeah, long journey. That was almost 2 years ago.
And you've done a lot of personal work, too. Because, I mean, life still has to go on.
Yep, you know? It does. And it does. And I've said to so many people, like, I lost my dad at a very young age to cancer, and that was hard. That was really hard. I've had others that I've lost in tragedies, car accidents, things like that. The pain that comes with loss from suicide is unbelievable. Unlike anything that I have ever, ever felt. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I'm also very thankful and grateful to say that in true love story, you don't hurt like this if you didn't love like that.
Yeah.
For sure.
We're all just on this journey of life, you know? There's no...
Yep.
And you can't go back and, you know, what you would have done differently or anything like that, because you don't have that opportunity. And so it's just, how can you tell your story now and how can you...
Well, and really for me, it's again, there was a lot of people after he passed, like, oh, I'm really sorry. Was he sick? And my answer is, yeah. My husband suffered mental illness and addiction. Mm-hmm. The result was suicide. So was he sick? Yeah. He was. And it's different than treating cancer, and it's different than anything. There's so many people that are stuck in that same position, in the same life that he was. We talk about mental well-being and things like that. And the dialogue around suicide, I've really struggled. I don't care for the word. I don't like the word commit. People commit crimes. People pass by suicide, or people, you know, take their own lives, or, you know, died by. But, you know, can't stand the word commit. Mm-hmm. You know, just a lot of the things that I think I was going to be a 48-year-old widow. Never.
Right.
Never in my life. Never in my life. And that alone comes along with a bunch of challenges.
But well, yeah, then you have to learn how to go out into the world with this now title and this almost shame that everyone has put on you, too.
Especially when it's by suicide, because mm-hmm. people immediately look at you and they wonder what was wrong in your marriage.
Yeah.
What did Nothing. You do? Did we have struggles? Sure. Does every married couple? Yep.
But that was he was on a personal journey and he had his own personal demons, and there was nothing that you could have done other than what you did.
No, other than love him and mm-hmm. be there and support him.
And you're allowed to be also then frustrated and also yep. disappointed and all of those things
yes,
too.
Yes, absolutely. Mm-hmm. Absolutely. You know, so kind of that self-care thing, it's that reminder of, and awareness, you know, I'm doing some things in the community too. I did not realize the lack of resources that we have. Mm-hmm. There is, like, very little available mm-hmm. for survivors of suicide yeah. loss. There is a fantastic foundation in the metro area, but am I going to drive down there for everything? Right. No. I've gone to a couple of retreats that have been great. They do a good job with that. I share some of that on my social media. But working locally here, you know, with some of our nonprofits and trying to be a resource for them. Mm-hmm. So, you know, with Breeze Lodge, no one should grieve alone.
Right.
Working with Tammy to develop some programming and see what we can do just to have that support in our community, both from a mental health standpoint and just suicide awareness and
yeah.
and survivors of suicide loss. So
you've become a part of a club that you didn't want to be in.
Of course.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And you are doing the best that you can with what you have. I think that's something that is incredibly admirable to, from an outsider's perspective and someone who's known you for years, to see that you could have taken this hand that you were dealt and you could have just kind of retreated into yourself. And you didn't do that. Mm-hmm. And you showed up every day for now the five kids that you guys have and
yes.
continuing to just move the wheel along.
Yep.
And also make the world a better place in the wake of a tragic loss.
Yeah, you watched it unfold.
Yeah.
You did.
Thank you for... I made it this far. Pull yourself together. thank you for sharing your story.
Yes.
And for the work that you're doing for other people who have also found themselves in a club that they don't want to be in.
Yep. Absolutely. Okay. maybe I'll come back for a different episode.
Yeah. Well, because life continues to move on.
Life continues.
And when you have an abundance of love in your life, that's not a bad thing.
Right.
So leave us with your favorite Kelly story. Pick one.
Oh.
Pick one.
You could have warned me about that. There just is so many. Like I said, he was a constant prankster. You always knew he was up to something. So what I loved was when he was working with his other employer, his general, every day was a story from Kelly because of all of the tricks that he pulled. Because there was frequently lunch boxes would be sent afloat out onto styrofoam, out into places. But my favorite has to be, there was a raccoon that was hit. We live on Highway 22. So Kelly went and got it. And then we tied the raccoon in one of our old vehicles so that it hardened in the shape of holding onto the steering wheel.
And this is a taxidermy man and a doorman, so dead bodies are normal.
And then he brought it to work, and he put it in his boss's truck, attached under the steering wheel. There were live ducks that were put mm-hmm. in the backseat of that truck and floating lunch boxes. So I have to say his prankster side, which was always a thing. It was the twinkle and the little grin. But getting to hear all of his fun stories mm-hmm. of what he did to his boss at work included many fantastics. But the raccoon has to be one of my favorites. Yeah, go get some roadkill and
oh my God.
Who just puts that in their own vehicle too?
Yes,
right? Because let's just put that in a vehicle that we
rigor mortis will set in. This is going to be funny.
Yeah.
And then I'm going to take it and go put it.
Always something with him. It was always something with him. And you know, I'm finding even in his afterlife, there's always still things with him.
Mm-hmm.
I see it happen in my life day in and day out.
Well, yeah. Thank you for coming on. Thank you for sharing your story.
Thanks for having me.
Thank you for listening to the Love Story Podcast. You can subscribe to the show and you can follow us at the Love Story Podcast on Instagram, Facebook, and YouTube. Do you think you have a love story for the ages? Do you think you have a love story that's like a meet cute? Or maybe you just have a regular old love story, but you guys have been together for so long that you don't even remember how you met. We would love to have you on the Love Story Podcast to tell your story. Every love story is unique. Every love story is special. And whether you think you've got a cool story, a funny story, or just a heartwarming story, or just a story of the everyday regular old love, that's the kind of stuff we want to hear. Reach out at info@lovestoryweddingshow.com and we will schedule a time to get you featured on the Love Couch. If you're not local, we have the capabilities of doing it digitally as well. So don't forget to reach out info@lovestoryweddingshow.com or head to the show notes.